MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Gerrit Smit. He's lead portfolio manager at Stonehead Fleming Global. Gerrit, appreciate the time again. Diversification, Warren Buffett famously calls it the only free lunch in investing. And certainly in the current face of geopolitical and tariff uncertainty, I think a lot of folks are sort of flocking towards it. You wrote recently a note and you talk around, we've got to be careful about risks of perhaps being overly diversified and kind of going too far in the diversification process.
Yes, Simon, the diversification of a global equity portfolio is quite a multi-dimensional issue. And usually we think in terms of regional exposures or sector exposures or different currencies or different themes in the portfolio. But in terms of the number of holdings in the portfolio, the mistake that is often made is people want to diversify the stock-specific risk that they have and then have the impression that you have to have a large number of stocks to address that issue. But the real fact is that when you go beyond a number of around 30 stocks, you actually capture most of the benefits of the stock-specific risk that you want to address. But if you go beyond, then obviously you add additional layers of cost and complexities while you don't add more to the diversifying of the stock-specific risk. So the main point is, with good stock selection, you don't need to go above a number of 30 or so names.
Okay, 30. That is interesting. I remember once seeing a portfolio with about 200 stocks, and I'm like, I'm not sure you're going to get anything but sort of just good old-fashioned beta from 200-odd stocks. You also mentioned regional and sort of sectors. I imagine, particularly these days, in such a global economy, regional isn't always as regional as you think it is. I mean, a company might be based somewhere in the world, but they're quite possibly operating in other geographies at the same time. You really do need to look under the hood and truly understand what regions they are operating in.
Exactly so. I mean, how we approach global investing is, in essence, we want to own the world's best companies. And there's different ways of defining the quality, but in essence, you're to a large extent dependent on the quality of your management team. And we find most of those companies in America, and most American companies are truly globally diversified. So in our portfolio, we find typically that by buying an American company and you have the conviction of the quality and the sustainability of that business, but your regional exposure would then be roughly half America and then very equally balanced between Europe and Pan-Asia and some emerging markets. So for me, that's a very good combination, because within that you have all the entrepreneurship and the excellence of the American economy and all those benefits. And with that same management team, you've got the exposures in the rest of the world. And for that, you don't really need to shop around all over the world to get that proper geographical exposure.
I get your point. You get the sort of that excellence, as you say, of America, and you get the rest added onto it. You also mentioned sectors, and you gave an example in the note around a stock that is classified as healthcare, but actually is sort of more correlated with luxury goods. And again, it really is sort of digging in and really understanding the business so that you get a strong sense of the sector that you're actually exposed to, not the one that you think you're exposed to.
Yeah, that's a really important point. I mean, obviously, all fund managers have to report and abide by the official sector classifications. But you may find a stock like EssilorLuxottica that is classified as healthcare. But in terms of the correlations with other sectors, it's got a higher correlation with luxury goods than with healthcare. So you're actually more exposed to what's going on in terms of luxury goods than in healthcare. Or a similar interesting one is like Visa or MasterCard, classified as financials. Clearly, it is very active in the financial sector, but it's got an equally high correlation with technology. So one has to be careful not to get too much technology exposure by adding the card companies to your portfolio. And likewise, we own GE Aerospace, an outstanding company. The main attraction in that business is all the turbines that's installed in the likes of Boeing and Airbus. They cover about 3/4 of those planes. After the turbine is sold, then there's an indefinite maintenance contract on that. So the attraction is really that 70% of GE Aerospace's turnover is from those contracts. So that's not really industrial. That is very stable, consistent, growing free cash flow generator, while it's classified as industrial. So one has to be very careful about the correlations that you have in diversifying your portfolio and making sure you're not overly exposed to a particular sector in terms of the correlations.
It's understanding. It's really digging into that stock and understanding the correlations, the regional, and to your point up front, keeping it to about 30 stocks. Otherwise, you're starting to overdo it. We'll leave it there. This is Gerard Smit, Lead Portfolio Manager, Stonehage Fleming Global. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.